Hey everyone, Justin here with HuntLink by Serviceside. I'm joined on the mic today by Weston Paul. He is with marketing business development over at Mountain Tough. What's going on, Weston?
Hey Justin, thanks for having me on today. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, for sure, man. So it's been some buzz within the community, within the Serviceside community of, you know, there seems to be a little bit higher amount of people kind of wanting to get more in shape. Not necessarily mean, you know, going to the gym, but more so just getting out there, hiking more, you know, maybe, you know, putting weight in their pack, things like that. And I had a few members reaching out to me and they're like, Justin, you got to touch base with Mountain Tough. We'd love to hear more about their program on a podcast or if they can get on a webinar or whatever. And we're just interested in getting more information. So that's when I had reached out to you. You're like, hey, let's work out a time, and we're able to get you on. So we had some questions from the members, which I'll put towards the end. So if you're listening now, we'll put those at the end. But we also had a few more questions to kind of help us get to know a little bit about more about you, what Mountain Tough has going on, and how it can be a fit for the community. So I guess let's do a little intro here. We'd love to know a little bit more about you, kind of how you got started out into hunting and where you kind of are at Mountain Tough.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate the opportunity too, and your guys' audience and the community that you've built is so amazing, because community is everything, honestly. That's why we love hunting. You know, the subcultures within hunting, they're all over the place, that sort of stuff. But really, for what you guys are doing and the loyalty that you have, like, that's what it's all about, that community piece. And that's really important for us at Mountain Tough too. When it comes to hunting, like, hunting for me, I mean, I grew up in South Dakota, and yeah, like, some of my earliest memories are, you know, cutting up deer in the garage with my dad, actually. And so just kind of part of my story for sure. In college and stuff, I took a little bit of a break and whatnot from hunting to pursue other things like skiing and whatnot. But overall, it's something that's near and dear to me, I'd say, in my DNA of sorts. But living in Southwest Montana, we do have the luxury of having some really amazing hunting right out our door, honestly. So I never take that for granted at all. Not everybody gets to do that, but you know, people are wanting to come out here and experience it, and it's something that you should come out here and experience for sure. Like, it's wild down here. We've got grizzly bears and wolves and a boatload of elk and you name it. We're really fortunate that way, so that's what I love to do. I'm like, from archery here in Montana, we have a really liberal season. It's unbelievable what the state of Montana does for us. We essentially can hunt for 3 months. There's a little bit of a break in between archery and rifle, but we have a big archery season, runs from beginning of September to about the second week of October, and then we take that little break week in between there, and then run middle of October then through the end of November for rifle season, general rifle season here in Montana. So a really awesome opportunity to get out there and spend a lot of time in the field. And like I said, and I know not everybody gets to do that, but if you ever get a chance to put in for Montana and you do get a draw, you know, plan your trip accordingly, but also know that general rifle tag is a good backup too. So I know a lot of folks that will plan their backup rifle trip too, just depending on how the archery season goes. So, but yeah, that's what I do. Like, my family, I got two boys, my wife and myself, and we live off wild game. There's no, I get actually give my wife a little bit of grief when she buys chicken, but from time she will just change it up. But yeah, elk, mule deer, whitetail, antelope, bear. That just depends on when I shoot a bear, but yeah, we always, that's what my family exists on for sure. So we're super fortunate to be able to do that, and something that we all share together, that's for sure.
No, and that's great, having that abundance of wildlife out there and being able to do that. I know in my state too, even though being in the South, we have an abundance of certain types of animals like feral pigs and turkeys and things like that. So we're able to eat a good bit of, you know, field to table dinners and things like that, which is great. especially being able to limit as much as you get from the store. And you know, I think that doing it that way too, it's making your kids stronger, your family stronger, you know, everyone's health's a little bit better. Yep. And now this kind of ties into Mountain Tough. So what is Mountain Tough?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mountain Tough. So we are a fitness app. And so with that, my sister says Peloton for hunters, which is a great way to describe it, actually. We are not Peloton, but we are for hunters. We started out in that space. The founder, Dustin, he started Mountain Tough in 2016 because he recognized that there was just a gap in training. And he had realized that from personal experience. And then a lot of us as backcountry hunters had kind of, I don't know, dabbled, say, in the trail running scene and done our strength programs that maybe we did in college or high school, that sort of stuff. But there wasn't anybody training backcountry hunters specifically for the hunt. And I'm talking about training them to the level that you would train an NFL offensive lineman or defensive line, like a very, very specific type of training that you need to go and be successful in the mountains. Because you put a backpack on, you're carrying your kit. If you're doing a multi-day trip, you know, that load is a bit heavier. And then ultimately our goal is to come out of the mountains heavier than we went in, and that's in the harvest of an animal. So for harvesting an elk, you know, you got several trips if you're solo, and so four trips sometimes, just depends on how big of a bull that you might have, and then how able-bodied you are or what the terrain is that you got to get out of. So just kind of recognizing that it wasn't all trail running and it wasn't all a strength program, and putting that together was really his brainchild. And he did a great job of zoning in on those backcountry hunters. We're fortunate here in Southwest Montana to have a whole bunch of backcountry hunters and very successful backcountry hunters too. And so he just started training random backcountry hunters, honestly. And so that grew and grew into classes. So he ran classes, like three classes a day, you know, every day of the week. And then that allowed them to build the specific programs, because they're training on these backcountry hunters, their training programs. So testing everything out, testing the theories, going and hitting the woods and listening to people when they came back from hunts and seeing how they felt. That was a big part of then moving it into the online format and selling individual programs to backcountry hunters. 2 years ago, we moved over to the app. And so now that we are, in fact, an actual app, we have all of our programs available to anyone who purchases that app. Now, the Backcountry Hunter series is really what started Mountain Tough. And so the series are the training blocks that you need to train in to be prepared for a hunt. And a hunt is like, you got a date or a deadline in the future, and you know that you're gonna come out here for this backcountry hunt, or you know you're going on it. That's kind of like signing up for a race. Like, you're gonna train then accordingly because you know you have this date in mind. And so that allows a person to train in blocks. So if we look at where we're at right now in the Mountain Tough app, we're in our spring training block in our backcountry series program. And that spring training block is putting on a whole bunch of muscle mass and adding in just a little sprinkling of cardio so that we start building that endurance. Once we cycle out of that spring training block, then we're going to move into preseason prep. And that's where most people honestly start, is our preseason prep program. That's allowing you to go through the summer months. You're still going to add strength, but you're going to have a little bit more of the endurance component. You're going to be doing things out in the field. So you're going to be scouting, you're going to be going on hikes, you're going to be going on rucks, those sort of things. But that's really getting you resilient so that you hold up during that hunting season. You go into hunting season, and a lot of us know, as we're out there hunting, like, we shed a lot of that muscle and we burn a lot of fat because we're walking low and slow, right? We're walking, creeping around, and that's when you actually burn a heck of a lot of fat. And if you don't have a lot of fat on your body, you're going to burn muscle mass. And so coming out of hunting season is when we double down on putting that muscle mass back on. And that's the postseason program. So in my description there, where we're at right now is spring training goes into preseason prep. then it's in-season training. We actually have a program with a lot of mobility and that sort of stuff in it for in-season. And then once the hunting season is over, we go into post-season strength. And so that is 365 days essentially of training for a hunt. And that's where Mountain Tough truly got its start.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that intricate with it. I like that. And that makes a little bit more sense than what we were talking about before we started, where, you know, I was telling you about Eric, one of our members out of Idaho. You know, he's a guide. He's out there in Idaho a lot, you know, has a reindeer farm, very active person. And he does the workouts. And that was one thing he was telling me was that's what he felt kind of set y'all is the workout program that he wanted to be a part of, just because it was so detailed and going specific with what was happening in your hunting kind of experience.
Yeah, it is. We as humans, like, everyone's on their own path. And for us, that Backcountry Hunter series is like I said, that's where the framework for Mountain Tough started, and putting people on that path. Like a lot of folks didn't realize that they needed that. They needed to have those seasons. And there's other athletes that train like that too. I'm like, I don't know necessarily, like in the NFL, you know, your fast twitch muscles. So it's not that applicable to, you know, or your D1 schools. It's not that applicable to backcountry hunting. But if you look at, actually there's rodeo athletes out there, bareback riders. I don't know if anybody's familiar with like the rodeo scene, but, bareback riders will do this, and it's more and more popular now because they need to be very, very strong, right? So they're riding a horse, a bucking horse, holding onto it with one hand, and they need to build that muscle mass. But then when they go to ride, they don't want to be big and heavy, right? So they lean out so that they have all that strength, but they're not as heavy because you don't want to get bucked off. And if you have a high center of mass and you're a big old dude, you're going to get canned. So it's really interesting, like those programs or those training blocks that you train in truly are specific. I guess if you were to look at wrestling, that might be closer there too. It's like cutting weight. Well, it's not the healthiest thing to do in a wrestling environment, certainly, but for those athletes, that's what they do. So if you look at a hunt in that fashion, we do want to go into the mountains lean and mean. We're not going to, you know, make you put on plastic bags and sweat it out, right? But you are going to get that over the duration of your training program. So pretty cool to have that methodology. And then for us, understanding that everyone's on their own journey and people can't just start in the same place as everybody else, our app now has programs for everybody. Like, honestly, we just want to, it's near and dear to us to meet people where they're at and get people started. We just want to get you on a path. So we start now for people that haven't worked out in an on-ramp program. Maybe they just fell out of routine or they just haven't found what's right for them. We start laying the framework to be successful day in and day out. And that's with our on-ramp program. From there, it goes to our foundation program. And then we've got a plethora of other programs that you can cycle into so that at least you laid the framework. You're not just jumping into it. So many people are intimidated by fitness, and rightfully so. And even for us at Mountain Tough, people are intimidated by Mountain Tough sometimes. And we just tell them, like, anyone can do this. I guarantee you, if you do this at home, your 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old is going to probably copy you. They're going to be doing the same thing that you're doing because you're modeling that at home. And if they can do it, you can do it, certainly. When it comes to, you know, people that are a little bit older, it's constant that we get people that are 65. I had a guy the other day that stopped me in the parking lot at, like, our farm and ranch store. I was coming out, and he's like, "Are you Wes?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I do Mountain Tough." And he let me know he was 65 years old, and he's doing Mountain Tough. And I said, "Thank you." I was like, "You are a driving force for me, because seeing that is what I need to see, because I'll be dang sure that I want to be able to do that when I'm 65 years old. And I'll be hopeful that I live a little bit longer than that and can do it until I'm 80, you know?" So,
oh, for sure. Yeah,
it's a big deal.
No. And, you know, and like you said, not only just being the example, but, you know, at the end of the day, and this is something we kind of deal with what we have here at Serviceside, and, or I guess one of the number one objections or maybe fears or misinformation that someone has is it's a lot of times once they get into it, and once you kind of see, okay, let me get into my rhythm and what's working best for me, but also still following the structure and direction of where you need to go. A lot of the times once that happens, that ball starts going downhill and it's fine. And I noticed that too in a little bit more older. That doesn't mean that, you know, we don't have young listeners that jump on something and understand it quick. But I think a lot of the times it's almost like as the older you get, the more you see the risk versus the reward type, I feel like, situation. And you're like, okay, not only am I maintaining my heart and health to, maybe it's not just physique bound, you know, it could just be wanting to be healthy to stay, like you said, alive till you're 70, 80 years old. You know, I've seen so many men, especially in my family, that they're not here today because of bad hearts, because of, you know, I would love to live the lifestyle I want to live where I can just eat cheeseburgers and not do anything and just do what needs to be done. But if I want to sit around and relax, I can do it. And it's just, you know, at the end of the day, you gotta take care of your health, because it's the older you get, it's like the harder it is than when you're young. You know, I remember eating McDonald's and had washboard abs when I was in high school, and now it's... Couldn't imagine that.
Totally. Yeah. It's with age though too. And I'm like, I'm 41. So it's not like I have a lot of age, but I've seen a lot of folks too that, they have that mental side. The older you get, you know, as you transition into more of like wisdom as opposed to knowledge, that mental side comes into play. And biting something off as you get older is, well, sometimes it might not seem possible, like you're like, no, I know I can do this. And a person as they get older oftentimes has that confidence. They just need a place to start. So maybe they did something back in the day and they had that fitness or whatever, like you're saying, like, yeah, you did that, so you know that you can tap into it again, and you know that the process is going to be longer. But also, hey, your kids are a little bit older now, right? So you're sleeping better at night. So you do have an opportunity to right. throw in a fitness routine, because you're not as taxed as you were, say, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. It's super interesting from that perspective. Yeah.
Now, Wes, I know you have y'all's labs in outside of Bozeman. Do y'all have any plans on opening other lab locations?
For the current year and foreseeable future, we don't have any plans of opening up any other labs. For us, like, we have to grow our subscriber base to a certain level before we can even make that a viable option, because while a lot of people know about us, there's still a whole bunch of people that don't know about us.
Right No, that makes sense.
we're just relying on these individuals that are training, you know, at home or in the gym, depending on the program that they pick in the app. We have at-home programs and we have full gym programs. As they continue to grow, we're doing more community events, and so we're hosting pop-up workouts in, you know, respective geographic locations. So we're doing those. What we'll see next is individuals leading group workouts wherever they may be. So it might be their local CrossFit gym. So we'll transition into that here next, and we'll see those people kind of run with that. And that'll be a good gauge as our subscriber base grows to the more people that say we want to open a Mountain Tough gym, is ultimately like, that's the right time in which we have to open up, you know, Mountain Tough gym locations, which we did in the past. We had, you know, public classes. But in order to really, really be successful in the app, we had to double down on all of our filming and training that goes on to make the app possible. So that's where we're at now, but it is not out of the question, and it's on the roadmap for sure.
I mean, shoot. I mean, it sounds like doing the, you know, where you can host classes and things like that. I mean, that's pretty solid. I mean, we're a subscription-based program too, so I completely get it. You know, we have members, and we literally have at least one member in all 50 states. So I've gotten it where, you know, they might be in a one horse town out in Montana, and, you know, we might only have two members over there. It's kind of hard to put on like a huge shindig or a bash there, you know, as opposed to a little bit more populated area. But as you continue to grow and your subscribers grow, it's a lot easier. We had events this year in places that I hadn't expected to have events for a while, but, you know, being able to do like almost the pop-up thing, like you said, start there and then grow into something more. I love that. And you know what, to be honest with you, doing it that way, it's just, especially with what we kind of have going on, and it seems like what y'all have going on, that, you know, it seems like community is big with y'all also, and like the culture. So that's a little bit, I think, better one-on-one before it becomes a more of an automated process.
Yeah, like it just, it's allows us to get enough momentum behind it, but then also the culture is you're spot on, like creating that culture and understanding that there's a lot of like-minded individuals doing this without the need for a physical location,
right?
But then there is a point at which, to reach more people, a physical location is truly like one of the things that you have to do, because you're not going to reach those people unless you have a physical location. So it's all part of the plan, certainly, but we love it. Like, naturally people are getting together and doing workouts, or they'll be in a gym if they are doing a gym program, and I hear it quite often that somebody looks across the gym and is like, I know what that person's doing right now. They're doing Mountain Tough, because they see them sweating, they see the movements that they're doing, and so they'll go and talk to each other. And it's pretty awesome to have that, like, because you then know, like, the product's working. People are starting to identify other Mountain Toughers out there just by the effort that they're putting in, which is pretty rad.
No, that is awesome. And you know what? That's actually a great segue into a question. I'm going to skip a couple questions I have, because you started talking about the sweating and the workout. So a question we had here from the team was, who's the mind behind these disgustingly brutal workouts? I know you mentioned the owner and things like that, but it sounds like the more I talk to you, the more it seems like there's definitely a huge team effort here within the community and within like HQ. So kind of how do you go about creating these? I know we spoke about, you know, the seasons, but if you can dive more into that.
Totally. Yeah, the programs, like ultimately Dustin starting this and just being a trainer himself and kind of testing everything out, like that sort of scientific method has always been part of it here. And our head trainer, Sarah, she's unreal. Her ability, like, she wakes up in the morning, she'll come into work and she's like, I woke up this morning and this is like the workout that I was thinking about. he is an absolute like genius in a lot of regards, but when it comes to the workouts that she's doing and testing out and then changing and then launching in the app, it's a lot. Sarah, we have our director of programs, Mark, as well. So, and then too, like, even our creative director, Nate, he's like, he programs as well. And so we'll test a lot of things out and he'll give a lot of ideas to us as well. And then we'll go test them out ourselves. We always test stuff out on ourselves first before we go thinking like, oh, this is going to be something, you know, bigger.
Right.
So we always put those programs together. But yeah, Sarah is really who spearheads it. I'd say like Dustin back in the day starting those programs. But then as we've grown, his time is not spent as much on the programming side and Sarah's time is spent more on that. We also bring in other coaches to do programs. Like, we've got a strength program in the app with Donnie Bigham. Donnie is like, he trained Army Rangers like his entire career. He was a Ranger and then he trained Rangers. He's phenomenal, holds like world strength records and masters, like has won worlds, won this last year. And like unbelievable the amount of weight that guy can move. But we bring people in and then they do programs and we launch those in our app. So we have that ability too. And so we're tapping into a lot of the resources that are out there, honestly. Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest challenge y'all faced so far with creating Mountain Tough?
Just getting people to start. You have to, like I said, meet people where they're at. You have to connect with them, in some way, shape, or form. know, like we're in a weird world where social media and all this jazz, and so there's a lot of noise out there, and honestly, like you kind of fatigue out at some point. Like you're like, well, that's gimmicky. So for us, like that authentic approach, being able to be relevant, and like we know once we get people in there, like they rave about it because it's constant. Like I got an email today from a guy who was just asking about some like shoes to wear in the gym, honestly, but our back and forth went for long enough that he then explained to me that he's lost over 100 pounds so far, and that's unbelievable. Like 100 pounds, like can you imagine? Like if people say that they pack 100 pounds worth of elk in their backpack, but they should weigh it because most backpacks, even like you'd be hard pressed to get 100 pounds in there. Right. But that being said, I'm like 100 pounds. This guy has changed his life. Gosh. You know, he explained that in an email, and so
that's literally going to keep him alive like even longer.
Yeah.
Like just losing that amount of weight, no matter what else is going on in your life, that right there is going to keep you rolling longer because it's going to be less wear and tear on your body.
Oh, cardiovascular disease, like all of it. Like it's just, it's really unbelievable to me too, like the path that people can take when they choose to do it. So just being there and having the brand, but then like getting in front of those new audiences. So like a conversation with you and your audience, like we want to help people genuinely. And I say it a lot. I think there's a podcast a while back that Dustin did with the guy here, and he said, yeah, you are your best investment. And I don't think of people look at themselves as an investment often enough. Like you are truly your best investment. You can spend your money on all kinds of crazy stuff and gear and all this and that. But honestly, if you give yourself the ability to like just work out and see the benefit of that, you have to put that work in. There's no easy button on it. It's going to take some time and effort, but you'll create a habit out of it. And once you create that habit, like no one is going to pry that from you. Like no one's going to take that away from you. Like you're going to hold on to that. Because it is the one thing in life that you can actually control. And so your fitness, like, it's there. It's there for you. You just have to take that opportunity. So yeah, the hardest thing is just meeting people where they're at. Because you know, and you don't want people to feel guilty either. And don't feel bad about where you're at. Or just know that you can always make a change. And when that time is right, like, Mountain Tough will be there for you.
Yeah. Nice. No, that's awesome. And for anyone that wants to jump on their site, check that out. It's pretty detailed. It's really easy to navigate, so it kind of shows all those options. But so what would you say what do you find is the most important for being prepared with hunting in the mountains? Like, do you feel like fitness would be one of the top things of importance with that?
So fitness is important, but at the top, and this is one of the things that's baked into Mountain Tough, just in our DNA, as Mountain Tough has continued to grow and meet people where they're at. Early on, it was very evident to us, even here locally, that the most mentally tough hunters were the ones that consistently were able to harvest and came out with that success. Now, measuring success by the number of animals you kill, don't think that that's true and complete success. But sticking it out in the field when the conditions are stacked against you and you're physically exhausted and being able to make it one more day because you took that time off from work and you were gonna do your best, you're not going to go home. That's where we saw those mentally tough individuals be the most successful. And so for us, that mental toughness is at the top. You have to be aware of your abilities, and hopefully your abilities aren't holding you back. And so when you're younger, you kind of oftentimes say like, yeah, I can do that, you know, I'll just grin and bear it and it'll be over. As you get a little bit older, there's a little bit more apprehension around these sort of things. And I do know a lot of hunters who have gone home early and they beat themselves up for a long time. And so that's like negative self-talk and that sort of stuff, which is a very slippery slope. So that mental toughness, mental fortitude is definitely at the peak. We actually have mental toughness courses in the app. So you can take those courses and you can work on that mental toughness. There's no physical element in that. You just take those mental toughness courses and you get a bit introspective, but you learn a ton about the qualities that you do have that are inherent in us. And we just kind of need to bring those to the forefront. So mental toughness is right up there. That fitness, it might be a little bit further down on the list. But that awareness, when it comes to being prepared and being out there in the field, that fitness comes in. Like, can you get yourself out of a tough circumstance, or can you get a buddy out of one of those nasty situations too? Those are good questions to ask yourself, and those take mental toughness as well. So.
And that was something I was going to ask was, you know, I'd seen glance to the site, you had programs on that. So, I'm glad we brought that up for maybe someone that wants to start in that area first, especially since it's the most important thing. I've always found out in my personal hunting experience that the mental part always felt was easier. I was in the military and just, you know, I had a pretty rough upbringing and things like that. So being middle tough was always top of mind. And once you get past that, I feel like your body just kind of like tags along. Like, I'm not over here like in physique bodybuilder shape at all, and I tell you what, I couldn't tell you how many times I've been walking through the swamp with someone that's about half my age, and I'm like, where are you at, man? And they're 200 yards behind me, and I'm like, you got to get up here, like, this is flat ground. Oh, what are you doing? And this kid's in the best shape of his life.
I was like, that just goes back to the looks are not everything. They never are, you know, when it comes down to it. And so that's where if an individual gives themselves that grace for themselves and said, I am who I am. I got some stuff I'm going to work on. I'm going to do it. But the mentally tough individuals will always surprise you. You are correct. You are one of those. Like, and yeah, it's one of those things where even for a younger person who might look the part, it's like they got some time. They need to do some more reps before they're going to have the mental side as well. So
for sure. And yeah. I mean, it goes through all ages. I was in Virginia doing a hunt link waterfowl this year, and I was with a guy that was in his mid-60s, had an issue with his foot. He had something going on with his foot. And I tell you what, we were side by side the whole 3 or 4 days. And, you know, we talked a few times. I mean, pouring down rain, just really bad conditions, really painful conditions when you're hurting. And I've never once complained. I was talking to him about it, and he's like, no, I'll be good. I can rest when you leave, and I'm here to hunt. And I'm sitting here like, man, this guy didn't even grimace. And, you know, it just, like you said, it made me like, well, I have no excuse. Like, I was freezing. I couldn't even feel my hands. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to complain. You know,
that's the truth. I'm like, you got it. Those individuals too, that for me, that just makes me, you know, aspire to that level. Like, I'm like, I want to do that. I see that modeled. This might be one person that I've never met before, but they're teaching me something right now. And that's sure.
No, and they don't, we were talking about the other day, they don't make them like that no more. I was talking to my uncle. He was down hog hunting this weekend, and we were talking about my great grandpa and all the crazy stuff he went through. And I'm sitting here like, man, they don't make them like that no more. So hopefully these types of mountain tough programs, you know, I haven't done mine yet, but I did sign up and I've got everything set up. So I'm going to start, which it sounds like me starting at this time of year is good. It sounds like that was a good, you said, kind of run into it there. But what would you say is the why for these workouts every day?
Yeah. So we talk about this a lot. And in our day and age, they're saying like they don't make them like they used to. There was a time when physical labor was and it wasn't that long ago, where it was the majority. Like, most people were doing some sort of physical labor. And so 150 years ago, honestly, like, a lot of people were doing some sort of physical routine every single day. Now, that was part of their job or their livelihood, whatever. Today, flash forward, we got it so easy. Like, a lot of us look to hunting because, even subtly, we may not realize it. We want stuff to be a little bit harder than it is.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, So for us at Mountain Tough, if the why, like a lot of it is just helping you. I call it manufactured hardship. It's like, hey, do this hard thing for 40 minutes, maybe an hour, right? If you can make it through that, we're going to coach you too. Like we'll build in, we're going to tell you, you're doing this because you are capable. You're doing this because you're looking forward to the hunt. And we just build that into our coaching style so that subconsciously you're going through this 40 minutes or an hour, but it's helping you handle the hard stuff that life's going to throw at you. Now, the hard stuff that life's going to throw at you might be a hunt. Yeah, it could be. It could be a hunt. But actually, it's probably going to be something more along the lines of like a car crash or death in the family or cancer, something like that, to where you got to tap into these experiences and you got to say to yourself, like, I made it through that. I'm going to make it through this as well. And for us, that's the why. Like, we want to help people out holistically. So we say, yes, physically, yes, mentally, spiritually, nutritionally, we want to help you out on all of those pillars so that you are a well-rounded individual. Because shoot, it's a luxury to get to go hunt. You know, something might change and you might not be able to hunt. And are you going to be okay with that? So if you don't get to go hunt this year, is this just going to ruin your life? You know, are you going to be a pain at home because you didn't get to go hunt? That's pretty real. But if you're doing these workouts and you say, oh yeah, and then that came up and I can't go because I got to go to a work thing, like, hey, am I okay with that? You know, those are the sort of things that in a workout, 40 minutes or an hour, you can get those sort of life lessons, and you can take those life lessons and apply them in other places.
For sure. No, that has me super motivated and excited to get back to it for sure, because you know, especially like you said, it's a luxury to hunt. So you want to make sure not only are you missing time from work, you're taking away from time from your family or friends, and everything else you have going on, hobbies, etc. You're going to do this thing which we all love, but you know, I get, and this is something we preach here all the time, like, yeah, it's all about the experience, but at the end of the day, we are all trying to be successful, and when you are successful, it does give you a different mindset than the high you get from learning something. We never appreciate the fail and the suck until after you succeed, to be honest with you, and then you look back and you're like, oh yeah, remember that time I missed that bird or shot over that buck or whatever? Well, now that you got one on the ground, it's a little bit easier to talk about, you know, before everyone's burying it real deep. You know, you don't see them on social media for a week, you know, they probably missed a buck. No, that's great, man. I love that the programs also cover all those routes. And from what I've been hearing, that seems like a huge positive that your customers / some of our members really enjoy, is the diversity and being able to cover all realms than your just, you know, A, B, and C avenues.
Yeah, it's not just a fitness. We kind of say sometimes we're like a bait and switch a little bit. Like, we get you in on the fitness thing, but then you also start learning all these other things that are so important. And for us, we know that it works. And so that methodology, since it does work so well, it's like we have the opportunity to share it. And we're in a day and age where we can share this information, and you can get that ahead of time so that you go into the event much more prepared than you would otherwise. So like the collective years, even here in our office, of backcountry experience that led to this, it's so many years. And now a person can learn all of that and they can be prepped on what to expect, and they can go into the field and hopefully experience it to the fullness that they should. Because they are physically prepared, because they are mentally prepared, they can go out there, and that'll fast forward them to having those experiences, which ultimately will help them further on. Like that first heavy pack out, that a lot of people are looking to kill that first bull elk, you know, and yeah, it, but it's painful. Like you're in for something. So yeah, but you probably, well, it won't take you 6 years of walking around. You know, you have so many resources now. You have so many tools. You can look up everything. You can research it ahead of time. And that's all great in that education space, so that we're just prepping you to go experience it to its the full capacity.
You know, and from speaking from someone of experience of doing a big fail with backpack hunting, I backpack hunted when I was a kid, but like stupid stuff where you put, you know, beanies and weenies and like cans and stuff in your bag, and you're just going a few miles off a trail. Like I grew up in the Appalachian Mountains, so we'd have an Appalachian Trail, and nothing crazy. It was always within 30 miles of a town for sure. But when I went on my first hunting backpack trip, I went to the gym. I just went to the gym, did gym stuff like I did back in high school, just regular, normal physique stuff, chest, back, arms, squats, things like that, and thought I was so ahead of the game. I was like, oh, I'm in shape. I lost a bunch of weight. I was eating right, hydrating. I'm like, oh, I'm so ready for this. I wasn't even a mile into my trip and I was hurting. I was hurting so bad because I did no elevation training. I did no steps. I did nothing like that. And I hurt so bad that the guy I was with just came back from an elk trip, and he had packed out, and he was sitting here like, man, like, are you good? Like, you need me to take some weight and stuff? I'm like, nah, man, like I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm in shape, but I wasn't in shape at all. And I was pretty gassed. Now, once I got in there, got rolling, the mental toughness played into it. So I was like, well, I'll just put one foot in front of the other. I'll be fine. But I was like, how am I so gassed when I'm out of shape? And then you talking about the different types of workouts throughout the season. You know, I was in the bulk muscle part of it, and none of those muscles did me any good, like at all. Any of the muscles I worked did me no good except more weight to bring into the woods. I ended up, fast forward a couple years after that, ended up doing the right stuff, just running, a lot more hill walking, more backpack stuff with weight in it, Stairmaster, things like that. And there was such a huge difference. I was still hurting, especially packing out, but it was a different hurt. It was more of a like push yourself hurt, as opposed to like I hit a wall like right out the gate from being unprepared.
Yep. And you can share that, but if you just think about the amount of time, you can share that with, your network, but that took like a whole year of anticipation to get to that point, to get that experience, to go cycle into waiting another year to go back out and try it again. Like, that's a lot of time. And so just being able to prepare yourself enough for what you're going to experience, it's a big deal. And I love that we're in a day and age where we can share all this. We can share it on a podcast, share it on YouTube, share it in the server side community, so on and so forth. Like, it is amazing. So utilize those tools. Like, they're here, they're resources for you. And Mountain Tough, we love to be a resource as well. Get you on that same path too.
For sure. And I feel like, and don't get me wrong, we talk about this, we've talked about this on other episodes, but, usually we get people on that have similar values to us. They kind of see what's important in the hunting community, and, they put that top of mind over money or products. I tell people all the time, I'm like, money's easy to get. You can easily sincerely bait and switch someone, put something flashy out there, let a ton of people in, and be at like 10,000 subscribers extra by tomorrow. But when you do it that way, you lose so much within communication. Like you said, the number one thing you noticed was people just stepping off the ledge. Well, if you haven't been putting focus on that because everything else you're working on is just being better and flashy, then you forget that you just passed all those steps. And the real issue was just getting that person to step off the ledge, which those in-person, the classes, you said you had guests that were going to be working into it. Things like that, I think, are going to help. I know that's what helped us with Hunt Links. People were like, well, I don't want to take someone to my hunting spot. And I'm like, well, it's so much more than that. You don't have to take them to your spot. It's getting together and experience it. Well, once people started doing that, especially out west, and then creating those relationships online, it was so much, it was just a whole different atmosphere, and it was easier to showcase, because a lot of what we're talking about, it's really hard to just black and white do these steps 1 through 20 and everything's going to work out for you. You kind of have to plug and play and what works for you and your work schedule and this and that, and then obviously making the effort to try it is super important. I mean, that's honestly, like you said, that's the hardest part, is trying it. A lot of people aren't really willing to fail But once you try something, then you can really decipher whether it's for you or not.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, Wes, I had a few questions from some of our members. We're working on about 45 minutes here, so I'll jump into these. But these were just some Q&A stuff. Someone had asked, let's see here. So this is going to be Eric Haywood out of Idaho. He asked, what are your top three book recommendations? I guess this could be more of a personal question.
Yeah, that's a great question, too. I think about what I recommend to people. My favorite book of all time is Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And so many life lessons in that book. So Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, that's my favorite book if I'm going to recommend. Followed up by, this one's heavy, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. You'll hear it if you listen to other podcasts and stuff. It's starting to come up more. Like, you'll hear people talk about it, but actually had an intern back in, I was in the software world for a long time, and an intern actually recommended it to me. And he told me, he prefaced, he's like, this is heavy. He's like, you got to be ready to read this. And so I took him at his word, and I did wait a little bit, and then I read it, and it really is life-changing for sure. Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And then my third favorite is relatively new. It's called Ridgeline. By Michael Punk. And Michael Punk is the author of The Revenant. So I hunt grizzly country. Revenant just freaks you out when it comes to grizzlies. So yeah. If you learn about grizzlies, don't read The Revenant. But Ridgeline by Michael Punk is historical fiction, and it's absolutely fascinating. It's kind of in the heart of the country that I grew up by, and then obviously moved to Montana. And so it's like the stuff that you drive by when you're on I-90. So just really well written. I love his style. So those are my three.
Nice, nice. Well, there you go, Eric. Next question we have here is, what are your top three supplement companies that you recommend?
Yeah, totally. So for me personally, and there's a lot of great supplements out there, and like, find a company that you align with and that you like their mission, and you know, they're not gimmicky. We did a collaboration with Mountain Ops, and I will always say great things about them, mostly because they're amazing people and just an amazing organization. They're out there with a big mission. They do a lot of giving back. And so, their supplements, we do a hydrate product with them, which we put our name on. And we don't take that lightly, because there are a lot of things out there that people can take. So Mountain Ops would be one that I would recommend. There's some that I put in my hunting pack that you won't find in a lot of places. But one of them is called Tailwind, and you might find it at like your local running shop. But I love to run, and so it's something that's near and dear to me. But Tailwind is a hidden gem, and a lot of hunters should learn about it, because it actually adds calories into your hydration. And so while you're getting the salts and everything that you need, you're also getting dextrin, and that's the calories you need to keep going. So it's really subtle flavor, but it's based out of Colorado. It's in the endurance space, but Tailwind is a big one. And the other one is called Spring Energy. And I know that some people, if you've seen gels, you've seen like goo gels and that sort of stuff, they're big in the endurance space too. But Spring Energy is got just some really good clean ingredients. And that's a pretty good one. So those are the ones that are in my hunting pack anyway. And you can ask everybody else around here and they'll have different ones. But those are not my secrets, but the ones that I would go to. If I didn't have anything else, I'd have those in my pack. So.
Okay, nice, nice. Okay, so next question we have here is, this is from Shaylin, and she's also out of Idaho. She said, what were your thoughts on designing a program for pregnant women? And she said it through the name out, Mountain Bump.
Yeah, I mean, well, she can coin the term. We can, that's funny though, because Sarah, our head trainer, she trained in the gym all the way up to having her baby, Hank. and right alongside all of us. And she coached in the programs that we launched as well. And then out of pregnancy, she then spearheaded our on-ramp program, which was kind of part of her process, honestly. So her getting back into movement again after having a baby, that on-ramp program is actually the program that you're looking for. So those ones there, too, is like, yep, you want to do the simple movements and you should stay active. Sarah too, like, she was lifting quite a bit actually, up until the point that she did have her baby. But yeah, we don't have a specific one, but our market probably has to get a little bigger too. It's primarily the guys that we're after. So we're keeping off the baby weight for the guys, because a lot of dads sometimes put on that sympathy weight when they shouldn't. But our on-ramp program for anybody who's pregnant, you could definitely do that throughout. So
awesome. So last question I have for you here, and this is for us. I really appreciate you jumping on. I feel like we got a lot better understanding of what Mountain Tough is and what you're about. And what we're going to do is we're going to put this out. So if any of our listeners have any questions, I can shoot them over to Wes, and we can always do stuff in the future, especially with elk season coming up. But Wes, where it does Mountain Ops see it? I mean, I'm sorry, got me saying Mountain Ops now. Where does Mountain Tough see itself in 5 to 10 years with the trajectory of where y'all are going?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now we're at like 24,000 people training in the app. And so in the next 3 years, we want to grow that to 100,000. So that seems pretty attainable. Like conversations like this, it's like, hey, we'd love to get this to more people that are out there. In 5 to 10, like that allows us to exponentially grow that subscriber base and add more offerings. Then you can be sure that you'll see Mountain Tough gyms and that sort of stuff pop up as well. But keeping that culture in mind, keeping that culture true. You know, one of the things that we really admire is just a level of humility in individuals. Like if we see some of the special operations groups that we work with, they come to us for our training style, but they teach us a ton when they come in here, and they're so humble. And you'll see that too in a lot of the successful, mentally tough backcountry hunters as well. They're really, really humble. And so keeping that at the core, like just go be a good human being, help out the people that are around you, be kind, and set an example in what you do. I'm like, we can bring it all the way back around, Justin, too. And we can say those ones that they don't make anymore, they're still making them, and it's up to us to make them. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's, you know, that's something that, you know, I've always tried to pride myself on. And normally the people that are within our circle are the same way. And there's still people out there, you know, push it. And if it wasn't, we wouldn't still have the tradition that we have of hunting. Right. I feel like it would have been washed out a long time ago. So that shows you that there's still people fighting and trying to do the right thing. But Wes, where can our listeners reach you? Where can they find more on Mountain Tough and get started with the program if they're interested?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Mountain Tough, mtntough.com. That's our website, so you can check it out. We always have a 14-day free trial, so it's like you can do the mental toughness course for free. You can just start a trial, and should you not want to continue it, just cancel it. And we're just happy that Mountain Tough was able to impact you in one little way, for sure. So, yeah, check us out on our website. We are on social medias as well, at MountainTough_fitness. And you'll find us there too. Podcasts as well. So we're available across all the platforms. So look up the Mountain Tough podcast. That's with Dustin Diefendurfer. He's the founder. Mm-hmm. And lots of great interviews going on. Like his whole theme for this year is mental toughness. So everybody that he's interviewing, he has that mental toughness spin, and he's asking them questions that other people aren't asking them too. So go check us out there. We're always appreciative. You can always ask us questions too. support@mountaintough.com is our email, and we'll answer your questions. We'll pick up the phone too. That surprises people sometimes when we pick up the phone, actually.
It does.
Pretty awesome to get to do in this day and age.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've answered a phone, and someone goes, they were like, pause, and I'm like, hello, and they're like, yeah, sorry, I just wasn't expecting anyone to answer. I'm like,
totally.
Sorry, yeah. We live in that world now, but no, I'm a real person. What do you need?
I'm a real one. Yeah.
So, Wes, something that I recently started doing, I'd love to ask you, something we've been doing is we've been doing popcorn questions. So I've got five questions for you here. I know we mainly this episode was about Mountain Tough. We did a few questions about you, but this is going to be on you personally, just so our listeners get to know you a little bit better, especially on the marketing side of things. But let's just jump into it. I'm sure you've done popcorn questions before. Just spit out the first word that really pops into your head. If you need to go a little long-winded on an answer, that's fine, because some of them are like that. But if you're ready, I'll hit fire away.
Let's go.
All right, man. So you only get one game species to hunt the rest of your life. What's it going to be?
Oh, antelope.
Antelope, okay. So you are the number one item that you're going to have in your pack no matter what.
The number one item in my pack is my space blanket.
Space blanket, perfect. Okay, what is your number one call when elk hunting?
Oh man, my number one call would be, my father-in-law gave me this old bugle. I don't even know what brand it is, but he gave me this old bugle. He like dug it out of his stuff because he hunted up for like 20 years, and he's like, this needs to go to you. Nice. And it's old, and I busted a couple times and taped it up, but if you ever saw my packet, I have this funny way of rigging it up to where I can be hands-free with it, and it just is, it's awesome. I should see, I don't even know what the brand is, but this bugle tube's old. It's just corrugated and old, and I don't even know who made it.
So. Oh, no, that's awesome. That's actually a really good answer. Okay, so you can hunt anywhere in the world. Finances and logistics are not an option. Where is it going to be?
Just to go
or just to hunt? Just to go and hunt. It'd be going and hunting. So you can do rifle, you can do primitive, or just regular bow.
Oh man. This is gonna sound funny. I really love Yellowstone ecosystem, and the place that I wanna go is not very far from here, just outside of Cody, Wyoming. Up in that like rough country in Wyoming. And Wyoming's hard to get. Like they treat their in-state residents really good. So I know that's not that obscure, but that's the one that's the one that I like look forward to doing at some point in my life, which isn't very far from here. It's kind of the similar terrain, but big bulls up in that country.
Hey, you know what? If you got it near you, I mean, there's a spot not too far from me that I'm always itching to draw, and people are like, why you put the effort into that? I'm like, I'm telling you, I only need to hunt it one time in my whole life and I'll be happy.
Like I want to go to Patagonia, but I'm like, I want to go to Patagonia to like climb and ski and then fly fish. But I'm like, I don't even know what I'd hunt down there.
The fly fishing would be good. I'm actually going to Idaho this year to fly fish. People are like, you don't want to go up there hunting? I'm like, well, I want to go fish first and then I'll go from there.
Go check it.
Yep. Okay, so last question, game meat. What is your favorite game meat to eat? You could eat it every single day.
That's why I picked pronghorn as the animal that I would. We love antelope in our house, and actually, my wife she grew up with a hunter as a dad and siblings that hunted, and she never really cared to hunt. But I came home empty-handed one year. I didn't kill an antelope, and I had an archery tag, so I was kind of had it tough. I was like trying to kill one with the bows. Not the easiest, and she was like, never again, I want to put in next year. And so but yeah, we've just always, I don't know, a lot of people talk about it and they don't like it or this or that, but it's always the one. I'm like, I look forward to the leftovers of that stuff almost.
You know, we've got a guy in Wyoming, he's been a member for gosh, like almost 10 years, and he's in Wyoming, and I think he just took his first antelope with a bow. He always shoots them with the gun, but yeah. He just took his first one with the bow. And I tell you what, he made a video after. It was so funny because he's sweating. I think he was smoking, you know, he's sitting there smoking a cigarette. He's sitting there sweating. He's dying. He's just like, guys, after, you know, 20 some years of hunting these antelope, I finally got one with a bow. And he's like, I've like accomplished a life goal. He's like, because they are so freaking hard to get. They're just so spooky.
They're so fast, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like jumping the string, like you can't hardly even fathom it sometimes. But But man, we love that meat. We savor it. It's, yeah, goes in a lot.
Well, he said that I've been hearing a lot about it. I haven't tried it, but he's sending me some jerky, some antelope jerky. So I'll get to try that soon, and it might give me enough motivation to try to go get my hands on one. I'm using the gun, though. I'm not ready for the heartbreak yet on the bow. That takes time before you get addicted to that kind of heartbreak.
It is. Archery hunting is literally one of the most fun things that you can possibly do. Don't expect to harvest necessarily, but expect a lot of opportunities and a lot of blown opportunities, because it's just, it's so fun. You can see them, for one, but then it's so tricky, and they don't have the best smell, so you can dink with the wind a little bit more. Like, you're never going to do that with a whitetail, but yeah, it is super fun. But gosh, to kill, it's a little target to kill them with the bow. But my wife, and I'm like, she loves to go and then fill that freezer, and so, like, it's really near and dear to us for sure, that wild game. I'm like, I easy to pick elk, but I was like, if I really came down to it, like, what I look forward to is antelope on the grill, and man, it's so good.
That's
so,
the beauty of a popcorn question, because it makes it the first thing your brain's telling you. It goes past the part where you have to think about it for a minute.
That's so good.
So Wes, I really appreciate you jumping on. We're at about an hour here, so we'll wrap this one up, but we'd love to have you back on. I'm going to get this out to the team. If anyone has any questions, please drop them. I'll be more than happy to shoot them his way. We'll get you taken care of. And Wes, I really appreciate your time, man, and we'll do this again soon.
Likewise, I appreciate your time as well, and thanks to your whole audience for wanting to listen to this and learn more about Mountain Tough, and we'd love to meet you where you're at and just help you out on your journey. So let us know.
So y'all be sure to check out those show notes if you're interested in trying out Mountain Tough. Hit us up with any questions, and we'll see y'all in the next one. But you're listening to Hunt Link by Serverside.